2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Tacos Fast 40. So good to be back with you guys again after the crazy last couple of weeks with qualifying right before the race and all that nonsense. But it's good to be back with you guys. And as always, this podcast is presented to you by DFSArmy.com. Come check us out before football season kicks in. It's going to be an awesome football season. It's the best content that we put out probably. And, you know, we've got every other sport in the works. We've got great baseball content. Golf is finishing up its last major of the year, getting ready to go into the PGA playoffs for the FedEx Cup, so that's going to be fun. And you can come check us out at dfsarmy.com and use promo code TACO on sign up to support the pod and receive a lifetime 20% off discount. And that'll give you access to the Domination Station, still the only NASCAR lineup optimizer that takes Dominators into effect, the NASCAR cheat sheet, and all of the tools, cheat sheets, podcasts, articles, resources, you name it, for every other daily fantasy sport. We're getting the preseason and season-long draft NFL content ready right now, so it should be up very shortly if it's not already out. I haven't checked. I know it's coming out any day now, so definitely check by F5 on the site. Try to be the first one to get a huge head start on your season-long leagues with that super cheat sheet there. And we see the preseason NFL contest up on DraftKings. It is about to be football time, so come check us out. But for now, Sundays are all about NASCAR, and I'm liking that. And after a few crazy weeks in a row, back to the normal schedule of Friday practice or Friday qualifying and some post-qualifying practices. God, we've missed those. So practice 2 and 3 will be pretty important this week. And in the last 2 weeks, it's been really up and down. 2 weeks ago, I finished first in the 10K brake pad single entry for a sweet $1,000, so that was really nice. But then last week, all hell broke loose. I took a big gamble on Dale Earnhardt Jr. starting 28th, I think. Put him about 60-70% of my lineups. Also used a metric crap ton of Trevor Bayne, as I thought he would be an overlooked guy, because he had like crashed recently, and people don't really like using him too much, I guess. And then both him and Earnhardt just have brake problems and are immediately gone from the race before it even really starts. That just ruined me from the beginning. And then it was a pretty unpredictable race with everyone on Kyle Busch, who then falls back. Keselowski takes the lead for a while, and those two get into an accident. Martin Truex Jr. ends up pulling it out on fuel. It was just a really weird road course race last week. Some people did pretty well, but man, me, I got crushed. Last week sucked. It was just one of those weeks where the chalk gets destroyed. And I guess we'll be going into this week kind of looking to fade the chalk a little bit, as the chalk is starting to get really, really, really chalky. We've seen multiple times, of course, Larson starting last and things like that, and Kyle Busch on the pole over and over, that the pole sitter and the obvious play from the back are going to be just massively over-owned. And it might soon be time to start looking in a different direction. But we might have to pick our races out for when that's going to be, as this one is fairly predictable. But let's move right into this Michigan here. This is the second Michigan race of the year, Pure Michigan 400. Michigan is a two-mile track, very similar to Auto Club Race, a raceway, also known as Fontana, out there in California. And it's pretty interesting how closely related these tracks are, as they are the only tracks until very recently, but they were the two tracks that featured Kyle Larson's first three wins on the NASCAR circuit. He's won this race two times in a row, won at Auto Club earlier this year, so he's probably going into the week as a big favorite, but we've really seen people kind of follow who's been good lately, and lately it's been all Toyota, and Larson has taken kind of a step back, but I still think that he's going to be the highest owned guy this week, outside of maybe like Jimmy Johnson. It just because obviously two wins in a row and a third place finish at the first race here last year. But let's go down the starting order instead of just going right to Larson, because I know he'll be very important to talk about. But Brad Keselowski actually came away with the pole this week, and it's interesting what we've heard so far, because he was saying how he didn't do anything really differently this week, but word is that the Toyotas are kind of toning it down as, I'll just let Keselowski say it himself here. He said, "We have a strong suspicion that those guys would kind of tune it down this week so not to post a pretty big number in inspection. And potentially that's right because our team hasn't done much differently and those guys are just not as fast as they've been the last few weeks." So I guess this, it may not be 100% true. It's still a suspicion from Kaz, but basically how this goes is the Toyotas be cheating. Usually around this time, this Michigan race, they like to use it to test to see if anyone's cheating. And, you know, Joe Gibbs Racing has never been the cleanest, you know, using four lug nuts when you should be using five. Over a decade ago, they put magnets in their car on the pedal for post-race inspection, trying to hope that they wouldn't push the pedal all the way down or whatever. I don't know. They've always done things like this. The Toyotas have been absurdly fast after a terrible start to the season. So this could be really interesting. If you believe that the Toyotas are going to kind of tone it down, take a step back, which seems to be evident so far with Martin Truex Jr. finally not finishing on the front row in qualifying, guys like, you know, Kyle Busch not winning the pole, qualifying all the way down in sixth, three Fords in the front of this race. It's really bizarre how everyone outside of Matt Kenseth just took a huge step back this week. Now, do we treat this as a law? Like, hey, don't pick any Toyotas this week. No, probably not, no. We're going to have to look at practice times tomorrow. Definitely check back on the cheat sheet. I will have projections finalized then. I don't even want to bother with projections right now because practice will tell a huge story. Like I said, these are post-qualifying practices, which we haven't had. We've had those stupid pre-race qualifying pre-qualifying practices where some guys are in race trim, some guys are in qualifying trim. There's no real way to know anything. And we're not going to get 10 lap times at a 2-mile track. We just aren't. We've been doing that a lot recently. We haven't hit these smaller tracks where everyone's going to be posting 10 lap times. So once again, you'll see that slot blank on the domination station because honestly, practice 2 or 3, you might get like 5, maybe 10 guys posting top 10 speeds. And it's like, oh, hey, I don't know, let's pick a random name here. Like Chris Buescher, he's like top 5 in 10 lap speed. If it's out of 6 guys, who cares, you know? So, another thing about Michigan that I will point out here real quick is that it's such a large and fast track. I do believe it's the fastest track on the circuit. And there will be such a huge speed discrepancy between the big teams and the mid-tier teams and the little teams that you really don't want to use anyone who isn't in good equipment. You could get away with playing guys like, I don't know, Corey LaJoie, Matt DiBenedetto, David Reagan, Landon Castle. You don't want to pick those guys this week. You absolutely do not. You want to avoid that at all costs. So we may be looking at a more mid-range sort of week. I mean, fantasy points aren't going to be past like 60 or 70 outside of like one dominator, and that's if he dominates a lot. Last year we saw Larson put up 85 fantasy points, but he had to lead 100 laps out of about, I think it's 200, yeah. He had to lead half the laps, along with 30 fast laps, in order to hit that mark. But looking back historically, in the last 9 races, you can see that only twice, if you look at the historical performances tab in the cheat sheet, only twice has anyone passed 100 fantasy points, and they rarely pass the 80 mark. Only 6 times have someone passed the 80 fantasy point mark, and 4 out of those 6 times, the guy was starting on the pole. Looking at the positional scoring summary for the week, obviously starting in the top half of the top 10 is huge, as we see pretty much every track, but the pole sitter here does fantastic. They average 70.5 fantasy points over the last 9 races, with second place averaging 43, third place averaging 14 fantasy points. And it could be skewed a little bit because it's not the hugest sample size, only 9 races, but that's why I like to group it into groups of 5 here, but still goes to show you how usually the pole sitter here is pretty good. There isn't going to be just one dominator this race. Michigan allows for many multiple dominators, and also with the stages, you will have to pit during every stage, and that is absolutely going to shake up things, because you're going to see guys going to the end of the stage, and if they need playoff points, for example, if there's someone in a crunch like Logano, you know, they're gonna, or I guess a better example would be like Clint Bowyer. If you're wanting to hold on to these playoff points, you're gonna like stay out and make a really dumb overall race move to try to get these stage points, you know. We saw Truex do it a couple weeks ago. At one point, I think it was Kyle Busch. He wanted to win the stage, but he ended up staying out in order to do that, and that ended up getting him shuffled to the back after a long time of domination. We'll see things like that. We'll see guys like Eric Jones stay out as long as possible, or like a Keselowski or Logano could do that. Maybe not off the pole, but you know, the guys with a little more risk to take. Guys that have wins already, Stenhouse, Newman, Dillon, Kane, guys that really shouldn't have wins this year, but they do. They don't have anything to lose. You'll see some shakeup there. So I'm kind of feeling that we should get off of Keselowski, as the pole sitter is just going to be really, really popular. It's just that, you know, looking back, averaging 70 fantasy points, man, that's pretty good. But I think in a lot of those situations, it was like the absolute best drivers on the pole, and they were just straight dominating. Like, I think once Logano pretty much started on the pole and finished on the pole, or finished winning, that was the summer race last year in 2016, we just completely dominated the whole thing. His average running position was first. That's how good that was. But Logano's kind of a different story here. Penske just like dominates this track, but I don't know. I think that there's a... You can get off of Keselowski here. Looking at Keselowski real fast, he hasn't won here, but he's pretty much finishing in the top 10 every single race, just like his teammate Logano, except for the summer race here this year. He finished 16th. Nothing, while only having one fast lap and starting 12th, he was pretty much a non-factor all race. And until the last like week or two, Keselowski had been a real non-factor. Penske had obviously been struggling. But if you're off Toyotas, I mean, there's no reason not to use Keselowski in like half of your lineups. I just wouldn't pass the 50% mark. Really try to keep around the 30-40% mark. I guess he'll go around like 30 or 40% owned. He's really cheap for a pole sitter, so he might push the 50% mark. But he's not Kyle Busch. He's not going to be fastest in every practice and get people to just go massively in on him like they have been in the last few weeks. So Keselowski, use him or don't, it doesn't really matter, because right behind him is Logano, his teammate, who is even better here. Obviously had that dominating performance, but also back in 2013 he won as well, and he hasn't finished outside of the top 10 here in the last 10 races. Logano is really good at Michigan. It's only $9,000 too. You could definitely Penske stack this week with Keselowski and Logano. That's a pretty strong strategy, as we've seen some split domination coming from the front line so far this year. But man, it's star-studded right behind them. Harvick, Kenseth, Elliott, Busch. No like McMurray or Suarez, you know, sitting in the top five that you obviously aren't going to pick. Like, you could pick any of these guys for sure. You got Chase Elliott, who's finished second all three times he's raced here. He's starting fifth. Harvick and Kenseth right behind Logano are probably fair picks. So this week I'm feeling the main strategy should be kind of like hedging out a lot and being really contrarian and just praying for chaos. It doesn't happen here too often. Like, Michigan is kind of middle of the road for a DNF rate, if not a little bit under average. But it could happen. It's just not going to pile up and take a bunch of cars out. It's going to be like two or three cars at a time, unless it's like on a restart or something, because they usually fan out pretty wide. It's really a large track. But they will be going super fast. And before I get off of Keselowski at all, I would like to note that this week, with not being able to use like the bottom tier guys, you're really going to want to not spend up for like Kyle Busch and Truex. And if you want to play Larson at 10-3, you really have to sacrifice your studs elsewhere, or maybe skip like the $7,000 range and go down to the $6,000 range and take your bottom of the barrel guys, not bottom of the barrel like usual, but bottom of this week's barrel kind of guys, in order to fit people in. But Logano and Keselowski are cheap enough to where, I don't know, I'm still kind of on the fence about it. I'm probably going to use Keselowski, like try to hit right at the field percentage, so I don't even have to worry about that with him. But I'm going to be, unlike a lot of weeks where I like pairing him, the pole sitter or whatever, with like some plays that I like, I'm really going to just permutate it around or get him matched up with as many different people as I can and hope that I just hit like the right combo. It seems to be the strategy this week, because a lot of things are just up in the air. But moving past the front row, I actually should go back talking about the front row real quick, because it's always important to know how the starting restart's going to work out. And with them being teammates, how's that going to work out? In years past, we've seen Logano probably be one of the better drivers at stealing a domination of a race starting in second. But I'm pretty sure he will defer to Keselowski, who you always want in the first position because he's awesome at keeping it. They're not going to fight each other really hard. Logano's going to let him by, but I think Logano's going to get past Keselowski. I think he's going to be a little bit better. I know Keselowski's been better this year, but I mean, Logano just, he really, really needs a win. He's going to be super hungry. Keselowski has a lot more he can gamble with or whatever. He's already got three wins on the year, but Logano needs a win really bad, and he's $400 cheaper, so I do like Logano a lot. I might like him a little more than Keselowski, but Keselowski, I think, is going to get that first chunk of, like, fast laps and lead laps combined, and that might be too much to overcome, but play them both or whatever. I don't know. Just make a choice and stick with it, or do what I do and just hedge like crazy, because that's just how the week feels. going on to Kevin Harvick, Matt Kenseth, Chase Elliott, finishing out the top five here. Harvick has been pretty solid, and he loves finishing second here. He had a span of six races where he finished second place 5 years out of those six, right before Chase Elliott started stealing the second place position from him. So that's about what you can expect from him. He's starting third, 9,900 or 99,000. Probably someone I'm not going to be targeting a ton. He does have more lead lap finishes than any driver in the field, and I would say, I don't know, would almost make him a bit of a cash play, but you can't make him a cash play starting third. I think he's just going to go underlooked, under-owned, but you should definitely own some of him, because he could just work his way past Logano or Kez, or just end up there at the end. He's always going to stay in that top, like, six, seven drivers, pretty much all race, and who knows when he could when he could take over. But he's going to be significantly under-owned to Logano and Keselowski, like, by a lot. So that could be the contrarian move there, taking, like, Harvick or something. I don't know. But I'm more interested in the guys behind him. Kenseth has been better recently. Don't know about Toyota still, but I don't know. It's hard to like Kenseth. He hasn't been great at two-mile tracks at all this year. He has won here fairly recently, back in 2015. But that was during the fall race where they tried this weird high downforce package, and it was just a terrible race, kind of a tragedy. So if you ignore that, he pretty much finishes like in the teens every single race here. I don't see a lot of upside with Kenseth. I think it costs more than like Logano and almost as much as Keselowski. It's just going to be hard to play him starting fourth. I do like Chase Elliott, though, starting fifth. Three races here, finished second every time. Has dominated. He didn't dominate the last race at all whatsoever, but the first two he did. He led large chunks of it. At least one of the races, I think it was the fall race last year, he led a pretty large chunk of laps. Last year, you could have forgot that he was in, or not last year, but the last race here, you could have forgot that he was even in the race at all until the very end when he snuck into second place. But it was the farthest thing away from domination that you could see. And that's what Chase Elliott's been doing last several weeks, really last several months. He's just not really been there. Hendrick hasn't been there outside of Kane with his miraculous win, but Chase, I don't even think he's going to make the playoffs unless he somehow gets a win, which he likes to finish second. That's the thing about him. He just loves to finish second. And starting fifth, I mean, that'll do you right there. But man, 9,800, his price has been increased so much for this race. He's right there with Kevin Harvick. I don't see this trend continuing. I mean, I could see it continuing, but I don't even think he'll be that great of a play because of it. I'm just really, really not sold. Despite the stats and everything, his recent form has just totally not been there. But, you know, maybe if you take Toyotas out of the equation, maybe that's what he needs to succeed. But it looks like Ford's got the upper hand on him. And right now, a lot of strong Fords in his way. And I don't know, I just feel like he comes up with another second, third, or fourth place finish that just doesn't really matter that much and probably won't even hit value, and I just don't see him dominating. But moving along, right behind him, Kyle Busch at 10-5, second most expensive player on the board, not on the pole this week, and he's at a track where he has had a crap ton of trouble. He has actually finished 39th or worse in four of his last seven races here, and really 30th or worst in five of his last seven. He's had a lot of trouble. He did finish top 10 at the last race in 2017, in the summer race, so this is his first top 10 since the first race in 2013. A lot of struggles here, really bad driver rating, just under 80. A lot of that is due to DNFs, so the data is confounded here. It's pretty obvious. It looks like he had four crashes out of the sample of nine, so that's going to really mess it up. Just in the races where he hasn't crashed, he hasn't done really anything. Led a few laps in this race this summer, but I think he did. Yeah, he led 40 laps in the race in June. And I do believe that's starting on the pole. No, he didn't. He just ended up leading 40 laps, finishing in third or seventh. Third most fantasy points, but he finished seventh. Just, I don't know. He's been so supremely chalk. I don't know if people, really, I don't know how this news is going to circulate about what Keselowski said there and what a lot of people are thinking. So I think Kyle Busch will still be popular. And hell, they might even think, hey, he gets to move up five spots at first. But I can't pay that this week. I really can't pay that much. 10-5. Same with Truex. I know they're really, really good drivers and all, but man, it's going to be hard to fit people in if you're going to play Larson. Moving down to some guys that I can actually use this week that I usually don't get the opportunity to. Jamie McMurray, starting 7th, finally starts outside of the top like 3 or 4, which he had been doing constantly, just so annoying. Starting 7th, I think he could be an alright play here. Finished top 10, 4 out of the last 5 years here. Has been really solid all year long, just has not dominated whatsoever in any race. Now, could this be a place where he could turn it around? I don't know. Like, his teammate, Kyle Larson, obviously dominates here. Maybe he could bring a little bit of that domination McMurray's way? I don't know. But 8,500, his price did jump up a little bit, man. That's really expensive. I want to play him. Like, in theory, I want to play McMurray. I just want him to qualify 30th one day, but I know everyone's going to be on him. It's just he doesn't do that. You have to take him at, like, 7th. And it might be all right. Just not quite as much upside as the next guy on the list, Erik Jones, 8,400. I think this is a place where he can do just all right. Maybe even better than just all right, but again, still not sure about the whole Toyota thing this week, but even if you ignore that, Jones has just been awesome this year at just finding fantasy points. Like, he loves, or his team just loves to have him stay out there as long as possible. Him and Keselowski pretty much been the guy to do that. And oftentimes this year, that's given him chances to win races towards the end of the race. That's given him a chance to get lucky with fuel strategy. If that works out, if he does what he did at, I can't remember what track that is, I think it was like, I want to say like Kansas or something, but some, or one of those races, man, I wish I could remember. I think it was Pocono or I don't know, but there was one race where he just stayed out and he led like 20 laps in the first segment just because he did not pit, and it ended up working out for him. He posted a top five finish and he was one of the most valuable players on the board, and no one had him. It could be a sort of similar situation here. It's going to be kind of a dead zone. No one's going to be able to afford Erik Jones at 8,400. Starting 8th, it could be a nice spot for his first win. We're going to see how his practices come in. He's just someone that I've been really high on. Him and Suarez, I think one of those two is going to get a win here in the next few weeks. Just a make this playoff mess even more ridiculous. But I like Jones. I just, obviously, I wish he was starting a little bit farther back. At least he's not starting like top five. He's very feasible. Then on to Larson. The big question of the week. Will Larson get three wins in a row here? That's very rare to see. Although you do see three second place finishes in a row here. I don't know about three wins in a row. That's some serious domination. But he's shown that two-mile tracks are absolutely his jam. He's won the last three. Not much more to say about that, really. I know I had said earlier that he has not been looking as great recently, but we've been at, like, road courses and stuff. This is a two-mile track, and it's Kyle Larson. It kind of reminds me of the whole 1.5-mile track and Truex. You just kind of do it. And at a place where he's won twice in a row, man, Larson looks like a really strong play this week, especially if the Toyotas get nerfed at all or self-nerf themselves. Just really nice. Really nice looking. He has the best driver rating out of anyone in the field except for Martin Truex Jr. at recent two-mile tracks. And it's also up there in Michigan stats, just behind Chase Elliott and Joey Logano. Those two obviously are just like very, very good here, but Larson right behind him, and that's even, and that data is even like bogged down a little bit with a crash from 2014, but still pretty solid. I mean, you gotta love Larson this week. The question is, does he crack like 40 or 50% ownership? I think he probably will, and that's worrisome. I'm not gonna try to go overweight on it and go like 70% Larson. I'll just probably pop him like 20 or 30%. A little bit underweight, or just try to match the field maybe at 40%. But if you're going to spend up on anyone over $10,000, it's going to be on Larson or Truex. I guess Truex is starting a little far back, but Larson is just like very obviously the race car you want. Like, if you're picking someone to win this week, it's going to be Larson. Denny Hamlin starting 10th, $9,600. I've been comparing him to Matt Kenseth a lot this year. But now you can't really compare the two a lot. Hamlin's been doing better along with Kenseth. They've been the same in that regard, but they're in two completely different scenarios right now. Kenseth needs a win. Hamlin doesn't really. He's already got his win this year. I still think he's going to be good. He was third fastest in first practice. Now, of course, that's not going to matter nearly as much as the practices we're going to see tomorrow, or really today if you're listening to this, so definitely come check in on those. But Hamlin, not pretty low ownership week to week, definitely. Certainly on a week like this, people are just going to go with like Larson or Chase Elliott in this range. $9,600 is a bit much for him. So maybe if he's starting a little bit farther back, I will just have shares of him, just to kind of have shares of him, because he's someone that can find his way into the lead kind of out of nowhere. Just one of those guys. Like, he's pretty much Jamie McMurray if he dominated at all. That's pretty much how Hamlin is. I'd describe him right around that skill level. If McMurray led laps, that would be Hamlin. So I like Hamlin only because I expect his ownership to be on the low end, like in the teens. So that could be sneaky. Clint Bowyer, not so much. He's 8,300, which is a nice price for him. Starting 11th, that's just a bit too high for me. He's not going to do anything. Ryan Blaney, 8,700. He made some waves at this race last year, finishing 4th. And he pretty much stayed in the top 10 all of race. He's got a good car. He was the fastest out of everyone the first practice. Not sure if that'll hold up, but yeah, I just think he's just a little expensive. I don't like that price on him, especially if you can get Logano for only 300 more. It's just you're paying up the wazoo for Blaney. I would only buy that if his practice times really continue, which I don't think they will. I think it'll go back to someone like Kyle Busch or Truex or Keselowski or someone like that. It's just that we've seen this before from him and Eric Jones. They like to lead a lot of practices and then follow that up by doing nothing in the race. Now Blaney, he does have a win. You know, he can be a little he can run some strategy and all that, and he's had a pretty good car. Just hasn't been as good in the last like month or so as it was earlier on the season when it was really, really hot. But he's going to be under the radar. He just costs too much, honestly. Martin Truex Jr., most expensive guy on the board, starting 13th, which is the lowest we've seen him qualify in a while. I mean, he's had some low qualifying performances this year. He's not like McMurray or anything, but last several months, he's pretty much been top, like, he's pretty much been in the front row with either Larson or Kyle Busch, honestly. He's always been next to a Kyle, one way or the other. But this week, not so much. He'll be starting next to, I think, Ricky Stenhouse. Yep. 13th starting position is enough to make... I think it could be enough to make him a good play if he finishes top three, which I think he can. I know it's a crap ton of money for him, but if you really want to... Yeah, if you really like some lower low-baller guys... And you can afford him, I guess go for it. He'll probably be an upgrade from Larson if you can afford the salary straight up. Just most of the time you're going to end up picking Larson here just because he is really hard to pay for at almost $11,000. He got his road course win last week, and he's really just shown up everywhere this year, even at tracks that he's historically not been good at. He has historically been pretty good here and very good at two-mile tracks recently. Makes for a top-tier play, honestly. It's all about whether or not you can afford him. Behind him is Ricky Stenhouse Jr., who's gotten some like absurd ownership recently, even with him not qualifying that far back. But people just really like using him. I guess they see everyone saw him win multiple times this year at the plate tracks. This will be another fast racetrack. I just think 14th is too high for him. He could stay around there all day, don't get me wrong. He's been looking like a top 20 car for sure, and he might finish top 10. It's just that, I don't know, I don't think he can hold on. I think if anything, he'll just finish where he starts, which could be alright at 6,900. I mean, you gotta go that way somewhere. It's just, you know, there are gonna be guys in that price range that are starting like 20 spots behind him. And this can be a little bit more intriguing because you know he's not going to dominate or anything. He did finish top 10 in the summer race here, finishing 8th. But before then, he had never even cracked like the top 25 in most races. He is a lot stronger this year. Roush has looked really good outside of Bain's problems. But Stenhouse has been just a stud. And he hasn't crashed. He's not Ricky Stenhouse right now. So... I don't know. You can play him in some, I guess. Just he's not going to be, you know, for someone starting higher than guys in their price range, he's just not going to be that low-owned guy that you're looking for. Maybe if it was Bain starting 14th, no one would own him. But Stenhouse, people are going to own him. working my way down this field here a little bit. Kurt Busch at $8,000 is not a bad option, kind of low-key good. I just don't like his 2-mile stats. They're really bad this year. Like 67 driver rating, so bad. And you know he doesn't lead laps. He doesn't get fast laps. He has his win. And he's kind of had some problems with his car throughout the year, although that's kind of been... He hasn't had the electrical problems recently. I don't know. Starting 15th, I think he's just going to like finish like 12th. You know, that seems about right for Kurt. And that's not too high upside. But he's also not going to be high owned, really. I did win here back in 2015. But he was a lot stronger of a NASCAR driver for sure back in 2015. I don't know, just kind of a middling play. And right after Kurt Busch, Daniel Suarez at $7,800. Along with Eric Jones and Jamie McMurray, it's another guy that I'm like, yeah, I can use this week. He didn't qualify super high. 16th. We're not getting him like the 20s, like earlier in the year. But man, he's been solid at every race. Maybe it doesn't pass the eye test if you're just looking down the game logs and looking at finishes. His average running position's been like in the top 10 over the last several weeks. He's been really good. Just not having the finishes that he would like. And he almost had a win this year at Sonoma. And also at, I think it had the last plate race you were at. Almost we got a win there too. I think he's going, either him or Eric Jones going to break through with a win, I swear. Just going to make this playoff a little more interesting. And could be Suarez this week, you know. I mean, he didn't look anything special here in the summer race, but he's really improved. He's become a much better NASCAR driver, kind of in a hurry over the last few weeks, few months. So I like Suarez. I just think the secret's kind of out with him for sure. Other people like Suarez as well. Going to kind of hurry along down here because it's kind of a lull of drivers that are just bleh. Austin Dillon, he's been starting like in the low 20s, and now he's starting 17th, so I'm absolutely not interested. Danica Patrick, also starting 18th, not interested one bit. Then the guy who screwed me last week so bad. Water Cooler Dale, $7,900. Bitch. Sorry if any kids are listening, but I'm so angry about you. Ah, I hate that. But everyone else is. Everyone else is going to be thinking the same thing. This is one of Earnhardt's best tracks, actually. The bigger and faster track, the better with him. $7,900, starting 19th. Man, if his name wasn't Dale Earnhardt Jr., if he wasn't just fresh off of screwing me, I'd kind of be all about this play. No one's going to own him. I might still be. Every time I go back to the well with Dale, I always think the exact same thing. Hey, everyone else is off this guy. I'm going to be on him and watch. There have been weeks where he's done that, but it's never been a week where, you know, he has like place differential opportunity or whatever. But this week he does. But man, every time I try to use him and think that, what happens? He just burns out and finishes. Not just like on the low end. He finishes dead last. It's so annoying. But if you can get over that this week and just completely forget about it, Dale Earnhardt Jr., $7,900, starting 19th with a good top 10. Good top 10 upside. Finishing top 10 here. Five out of his last six races. And the only other race was a crash where he finished last. So it seems like, once again, either he's gonna crash or he's going to finish top 10. If he finishes top 10, that's a great value at $7,900. Chris Buescher is $5,900. He is starting in 20th position, which is just too high. You can't play him. Trevor Bayne starting 21st at $6,700. Again, tempting, but man, after last week with Dale, like, it just sucks having to go back to the same kind of guys. But it's pretty much the same play as Dale, just on a lower scale. No one is going to use Bayne. Like, no one. No one is going to touch him. They'll take Stenhouse over Bayne. Bayne's been kind of a problem recently, but his 2-mile stats aren't bad at all, really, for some of his price range. Is in the top 15 a lot. Average running position of 18th, which is not bad. But this isn't really going to be an upside play, if anything. It's going to be a pure ownership play. And maybe I don't see the top 15 potential from him that I would really like. So I guess we can't really play Bane anyway. Maybe if he was starting in the lower 20s or 30th like last week. And on to the chalk of the week, who I haven't even really talked about so far. Jimmy Johnson is $9,100. Very, very fair price for Jimmy. He's very cheap this week. He's starting 22nd. So he should be a pretty obvious play, especially now that the starting positions are listed on the app. People are going to see that 22nd and be like, click, I will put him on my roster. Ownership depends on how practice goes with him. But I think that his ownership will probably be around the 40% mark, maybe pushing into the 45% mark. That sounds about right, although it wouldn't completely shock me if he breaks 50, but he's not going to be like 60% or anything. That's crazy. Save that for Larson starting last or whatever. But Jimmy Johnson is pretty much the obvious place differential play here. I mean, there's nothing really wrong with his 2 mile stats are pretty good. Not the greatest, but pretty good. Same with Michigan. Not the greatest, but pretty good. A couple of top 10 finishes in a row. One in 2014. You just play him because he's starting 22nd, and you know he's going to finish top 10 if he finishes. This teammate right behind him makes for an even more interesting play in my eyes because he's so much cheaper, but Kasey Kahne is $7,600 starting 23rd. Like that play a lot. He's looked a lot better recently. Got the win, so he can be a little more aggressive about... He's finished top 16 at Michigan in 7 of the last 8 races. Of course, his race this year, he'd finished 21st, but his Michigan stats are almost as good as Jimmy Johnson's. Like, they're almost comparable. Only 9 less driver rating than Jimmy, and the price difference is crazy. So Kahne is someone I'm going to pile onto pretty heavily this week. And Kahne is someone who I can usually trust. To get place differential and not really crash and not just like have random ass problems. He's usually pretty solid. He's like he used to kind of be like what McMurray is now. Not the case anymore, but you know, he's just steady and solid. He has burned me a few times this year, and I think he's been the chalk a few times this year when he's crashed. So maybe that'll keep people a little bit off of him, but he's still going to be fairly popular value plays being a little bit harder to come by this week. Eric Almirola is $6,000, and he's starting 24th. I think that Almirola might be my most rostered, like, non-super stud. If you were to just take a look at all of my DraftKings entries ever in NASCAR, he might be my most owned driver, because I find myself just rostering Almirola all over the place, all the time. Qualifies low-ish. Always gets low ownership. He's never a super high-owned guy. And he really has just certain tracks he's pretty good at. And right now he's just a very low price at $6,000. I wish, again, that he was starting like 29th like last week. But we'll take 24th. That'll knock down his ownership a bit, being on that side of the 20s. And if you look at the historical position scoring summary... the 21st through 25th starting position averages 28 fantasy points, while the 26th through 30th starting position averages 22 fantasy points. And look above that little range, 16th through 20th place averages 26 fantasy points. So this is kind of a little pocket of value that maybe people don't entirely realize. And people really don't like to pick players from like the 15th to 25th. Kind of range. Once you hit like 25th, that's when you start to hit like obvious value place differential plays. But I think someone like Almirola could be really nice and sneaky, and he just saves so much money with him. And he's also in pretty good equipment that should be able to keep up with most of the pack. So it's not like you're settling on like a David Ragan or DiBenedetto who's just going to be down laps. Like, he can stay on the lead lap for sure. And he has proved that this year with 11 lead lap finishes, and that is not including the, I think it was 7 or 8 week stretch where he did not even race. I think it was 7 weeks, so he's right there with the leaders if you're to look at lead lap finishes. So he's not going to be someone that falls back. Didn't race here in the summer, obviously, but He's always been fine here. I don't know. I just like him because he's going to be low owned. Someone's going to be high owned starting 25th. Ryan Newman at $7,300. Just too cheap for him. Very good here. Since 2013, hasn't finished worse than 18th. So he's pretty much guaranteed to go up at least seven spots. Good 2 mile stats. Looking at the recent stats, also just good stats in Michigan overall with, you know, steady performances over the years. Pretty much everything to like about Newman. A lot of the value plays this week are just really dumb with a lot of people kind of overqualifying. But Ryan Newman, pretty obvious play this week at 25th. He's done this the last few weeks. He really hasn't been qualifying well, but he's been racing pretty good. He's not going to fall back. He's in RCR equipment. I think he's going to be all right. Right behind him, Michael McDowell is $5,600, and this is kind of breaks into the range of like not very good drivers, but McDowell has been really awesome this year. Like, he's been a top 25 staple, if not a top 20 staple, like low-key. I don't know where he's gotten all the speed from. We finished 23rd here in the June. Starting 26th, he's pretty much just going to stay where he's at, and he's $5,600. If you're going to go below the $6,000 range, it's going to be Michael McDowell, I think, this week. Maybe Landon Castle. We'll get to him a little bit later, but Michael McDowell seems like where it's at. He usually qualifies around like 20th, 21st or so. This might be good enough for him to pull the trigger, especially at a week where you're going to want to save salary. Now, a lot of the rest of the guys here are other guys that are under $6,000 that are not interesting at all. Matt DiBenedetto starting 27th. No, don't play him. Reagan starting 28th. Now, David Reagan has been very good, but he tends to be better on like very flat tracks, road courses, small tracks like Dover and things like that. But he's been okay here, pretty much finishing in the top 30, never really venturing past that. But starting 28th, man, you wish he was starting like 33rd or something in order to use him. But $5,200, I guess you can sprinkle some onto him. It's just that he's not going to go much farther than that. Maybe finish like 25th if you're lucky. That's all I can really see out of him, because if you remember, his track history at pretty much every track is going to be a little bit jilted because he used to be right there with Clint Bowyer and Michael Waltrip Racing. That's disbanded. His equipment is not that good anymore. He's down there with these guys for a reason, the $5,000 range. So I would get off of Reagan, save him for another week. AJ Allmendinger starting 29th. Now, that is a pretty good play as well, and expect him to be fairly popular. $6,300, just a value play that everyone's going to flock to in order to fit in, you know, your Larsons and maybe your Truexes. Allmendinger, not really much to think about there. He's finished top, let's see, he finished 18th in the June race and 15th in the fall race last year. So he's going, I think that he's right in front of Paul Menard, who I think is actually going to be a little bit higher owned than Dinger. If it weren't for Menard's amazing track history, which we'll get into, I think that Allmendinger would be more popular, as he's just a more popular driver. We just got off of a road course, and people will see that he had $9,000 as his salary last week, and he's dropped down to like $6,000. People will take that and go, hey, awesome. I cost $200 less than Paul Menard, but you're going to want to play Paul Menard this week. That's what I'm this is a nice little pivot you can make. Just go underweight on Allmendinger. Go overweight on Menard. Starting one position back, I don't think his ownership is going to pass Allmendinger. I really don't think so. His stats at 2 mile tracks are exactly the same as Allmendinger's. 63 driver rating for both of them. But he actually averages more quality passes and a higher average running position, for what it's worth. And also more fast laps. A total of 2. As where Allmendinger is 0. But he's very good at Michigan. Very, very good. Finished 22nd in the summer race, which was eh. But before that, he had not finished worse than 18th. Had 3 races between 2013 and 2014 where he finished 4. Something about this track where it just likes to have repeating, where people just like to finish in the same spot over and over. But yeah, use Paul Menard this week as like your core value play outside of a guy that we'll get into here soon. If you've been listening to the podcast and are still listening, you know, you get a little, not really a treat because everyone's obviously giving me on him, but I haven't mentioned this guy's name yet. But okay, we'll get into him. We'll skip over Cole Witt real fast, starting 31st. Don't play him. And Castle starting 32nd. Sure. Just know that his track history is just garbage. He always finishes like last year. And he's going to fall back and all that nonsense. But anyway, Ty Dillon starting 33rd. He did not even take a qualifying lap here in the summer. And he started back of the field. Finished 20th. And he's actually raced here a few times in the past. In 2016, when Tony Stewart was injured, he took his car and finished 24th. And also back in 2015, he had raced here in the summer race. And he finished 14th. I'm trying to remember the circumstances here. I know that Ty Dillon had just raced like a couple of random races as a interim driver. I can't remember who it is for or who it was for. So sorry for my lack of NASCAR knowledge here, I guess. But you know, that was back when NASCAR DFS first started and people weren't really giving a crap about who was starting where. Actually, I think I do remember. It was like, you know, I do remember, actually. I think it was like 5 or 6 weeks into when NASCAR DFS first started, and I'd got a hot tip that Austin Dillon's younger brother was going to be in the field. Maybe it was this exact race, but I think he had only raced like 2 or 3 times back in 2015. Kind of getting off track here, but anyway, use Ty Dillon. Use him a lot. He's starting 33rd, most obvious value play on the board. It should be him first, Menard second, and then Newman also second. I have him about tied as far as value goes. Then Allmendinger and Casey Kane and Almirola and McDowell if you really need to. Castle if you really, really need to, but you shouldn't need to. And to finish off, the rest of Taco's Fast 40, which is never 40 anymore. They're always doing like 39 or 38 race or drivers or whatever. Corey LaJoie starting 34th, don't play him. Brett Moffitt starting 35th. We just saw Moffitt. He came back last week. I thought it was just going to be a one-week kind of ringer thing, but he's back once again in the, I guess, Ryan Sieg's number 83 Toyota BK Racing car. And he's actually raced here a few times in the past. He raced back in 2015, 2014. He was on the circuit as like a back-ender sort of driver, but don't play him this week. Jeffrey Earnhardt starting 36th, don't play him. And guess what? Derek Cope, he's starting 37th. And guess what? Don't play him. And then finally, Reed Sorensen starting 38th. It's $4,900. Maybe you can, maybe if you're crazy, you could play him. But, you know, if you're doing the full attrition thing, maybe go Cope for $4,500 and just go all out. Because you can't even pick McLeod. He's in the field starting 39th. I do believe, yeah, starting 39th, but he's not even on DraftKings, so you won't be able to pick him. But yeah, don't use any of the back burner guys. Please do not this week. Just keep it Ty Dillon and above as far as starting position goes. But that will do it for Taco's Fast 40. I was fast enough. I didn't keep it in the 40-minute mark, but I think we should be under an hour here, boys. So that'll do it. I want to see all the screenshots of our wins this week. Let's keep it going because we have had some amazing success from all of our members. And you can become a member and join us and talk with me at dfsarmy.com. And remember to support the pod by using promo code TACO on signup. And we will see you guys next week, hopefully. I do believe it's qualifying on Friday for the next few weeks. I'll double check that. But hopefully we get to do a podcast and have days to prepare and all that ahead of time because I'm really liking that lot better than last week. But that will do it for the podcast. I will see you guys later.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.